Okay. Good evening, and welcome to the November 15th special school board meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District. And we're here tonight to do interviews for school board candidates and a selection of a new board member. So welcome. We appreciate your interest in being a member of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Education. We've read your papers, and we're impressed by the qualifications of all of our candidates. We'll be conducting an interview consisting of 5 questions and lasting about 15 minutes. You might want to pace your answers accordingly. You have the questions in front of you. At the end of the interview, you're invited to share a brief closing comment if you wish. Once you've completed the interview, you're welcome to stay with us here. We will be publicly deliberating and making a decision following the conclusion of all the interviews. And again, thanks for being here. So our first applicant is Sterling Heck. So I'm ready to go and wait for Mr. Buckman to come back. Okay. So, Sterling, could you share with the board some of your background and experience which prepares you to serve on the board, and why are you interested in doing so?
Yes, thank you. Tell me when this is in the right place.
It's kind of...
Is this about right? Okay.
Yeah, I think we can hear you.
Hear okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have worked as a teacher and administrator for 29 years up at Cayucas School. And, I'm the one in Cayucas. So that's a little bit about my background. I might mention I graduated from Cal Poly and got my master's at Cal Poly.
And why are you interested in serving on the board?
Well, my wife, who's a teacher in your district, first told me that there was a position open. And she said, you should apply for this. You know a lot about it. And she thought I'd make a good board member, so I considered it. And first of all, the whole thing about community service, I've never really been involved in community service before, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to give back to the community. But also, as I noted in my letter, I would really relish an opportunity to be a board member in that it would give me a perspective that I have not ever had in education. That particular part of the team of the educational process, I think that'd be very interesting, and I'd learn a lot and perhaps contribute.
Great. Okay. In your view, what are the critical issues currently facing public education in our district in particular, and then how would you suggest a school board respond?
Well, I believe the critical issue always revolves around money, the allocation of money. Other issues would be changing populations of demographics and that sort of thing. And I have to tell you that I kind of wish I could use the questions that I came up in these questions. But frankly, I'll be very candid, I really don't know what issues are before the school district. And in a way, that might be seen as a weakness. In another way, I sort of fancied the idea that I would be coming in as perhaps fresh eyes. My learning curve, I feel confident, would be very steep because I've been doing this for a long time. But I don't know specifically what the issues are before San Luis Coastal. Let's see. Let me look at this. What else are you talking about?
And then we talk about current issues, critical issues facing public education.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I say, money, changing demographics, allocation of resources, all of those things are issues to be processed. Administration, giving direction to the board, having other interest groups, whether it be teacher groups or maybe the music consortium, whatever it might be. So there's vying groups for the trying to get those educational dollars, and finding the balance there can be very tricky, and I understand it can be difficult sometimes. So I would say that, well, from my experience, one of the filters that is important to keep in mind is what the mission statement is of the district or of the school. And as you're considering the many needs of the school and trying to put them in priority order, I always found it helpful to reflect on what are we really trying to accomplish that is expressed in our mission statement and other documents, for example, maybe school site council documents that are giving direction, the areas of emphasis for the school plan that drives staff development. And so taking into account some of the work that's been done to think about how we can accomplish our mission, how can we accomplish those things before us, and using that as a sort of a framework to think about how we're going to be spending money. That always worked well with for us in Cayuga School. So it's not necessarily always the loudest group or the most powerful group, but it's thinking through those things that are going to most directly impact students and the overall well-being of the community.
And that actually brings us, it's a great segue to question number four. When special interests come before the board, there's frequently a volume of communication from an interested party. Others, who are less organized, may have little or no voice come forward. As a board member, what's your responsibility to consider both voiced and unvoiced points of view, and how do you explain that to a vocal, one-sided audience?
Well, the decision-making model for a school board, I think the most effective model is one where there's cooperation, collaboration, and an effort to consensus build. And if that is the manner in which a group, a team, as a school board goes about trying to direct their efforts and decision-make, then it's important to be able to listen to all points of view. Being able to see an issue through the eyes of someone else who maybe you don't disagree with is very important. The opportunity for people to share, whether it's one voice or many, well, this is what the school board is. It provides that essential element of democracy to a school organization system, much like PTA or school site council where people will apply and get on those committees. And so perhaps let me look at this question again. It's kind of a long one. Oh, something about explaining. Oh, a one-sided audience. Okay. Gee, I've heard that before. Yeah, how do you elicit a well-rounded difference of opinions? I think perhaps the best defense to that is good offense and having an extremely cohesive board that works well together and has a clear vision of how they process decision making. And so if one-sided point of view comes for the board, whether it's an interest group or even one person, then listening isn't the same as agreeing with, and people just have to understand that the process that you folks have to deal with decision-making is a process that works, and you will not be bullied.
Okay. In your view, what makes a good board member, and what's a good board? And then what special ingredient do you see yourself bringing to the board?
A good board member? A good board member has to be someone who sees themselves not as an individual, but as a member of a team. Reflecting on that idea about the three C's, to cooperate, collaborate, and consensus build. Someone who understands that that's the way things get done well. That's one aspect of being a good board member. You folks represent San Luis Coastal Unified School District. There's a dignity to that, and that should be projected to the community. I think a good school board member is also discreet, not working as an individual and someone who's not out there giving a lot of opinions, but someone who understands that issues that affect our children and our community are something that is done in a board as a team for the educational community. And so I'm not too thrilled when I see mavericks, you might say, and people who are out there pontificating their ideas. So I think a good school board member is someone who is discreet and someone who's dignified. Well, to, you know, working school special ed team, I've been on safety committee for several years leading that. I believe one of my fortes when I was principal was staff development. You know, I think when people go in, they say, you know, I want to be an administrator. I think one of the ingredients is they have a passion for something they want to do. They say, I can do this better, you know. And I know that's how it was for me when I got my degrees and all that kind of stuff. And what I thought that could be done better is that we could have a more cohesive school with a solid direction and vision about what we can and should be. And I'm really proud of that. I believe that was one of my successes in working at Cayucas. I'm a very good staff development leader, and then organizing staff development, not just for a single shot, but in a long-term kind of an approach that takes into account what are the goals and priorities of the district. So I would say my experience. Also, I feel very strongly that you have to be a listener. I mean a real listener. I guess I mentioned this, being able to see things from another person's point of view. You know how every now and then you see these little special inspirational ditties? I saw one a few weeks ago. I actually copied it down and put it up in my room. It says, if you listen only to what you already believe, you only speak to yourself. And while I'm still trying to understand the depth of that, obviously you're talking about having the capacity to really listen to others. And I think that's really essential. And that is something that I definitely would do, and I like doing that. I like seeing other points of view.
Great. And would you like to make a closing statement on your behalf?
My closing statement would be that after reviewing the packet that I received, I'm thrilled at the very high quality people and highly qualified people that have applied for this. So I think you folks are in a no-lose situation. Whoever you select, you're going to do very well. It was thrilling to see that many people come out with such good credentials.
Do any board members have follow-up questions? Okay. Thanks very much, Mr. Heck.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say we appreciate your interest in being a member of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Education.
Thank you.
And we've read your papers and are impressed by the qualifications of all of our candidates. We'll be conducting an interview consisting of 5 questions and lasting about 15 minutes. You might want to pace your answers accordingly. And you have the questions in front of you. At the end of the interview, you're invited to share a brief closing comment if you wish. Once you've completed the interview, you're welcome to stay with us here. We will be publicly deliberating and making a decision following the conclusion of all the interviews. And again, thank you for joining us. And I would say our second candidate is Catherine Eisendrath Rogers. And again, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
First question. Could you share with the board some of your background and experience which prepares you to serve on the board, and why are you interested in doing so?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I attended a meeting in September, and I saw on the agenda that there is an opening that was being created by Mr. Peters' departure. And I thought, well, that could really leave the school board in a lurch, and I should do my civic duty and step to the plate and submit my application. Cut to, I receive in the mail a fat packet with 6 applications that are of extremely well-qualified candidates, as you well know. And I think that is a very good thing. But it makes it very difficult to distinguish yourself in such a distinguished group. So I think that what I would do is start by telling you a little bit about my educational and professional background, which is similar in many ways to some of the things you're hearing from the other candidates. I have been a longtime student as well as a teacher and administrator. I do have a doctorate and a master's degree. My master's thesis and doctoral dissertation were on educational issues. So I've long had a love affair with learning. I also have a lifetime teaching credential at community college level, taught at Monterey Peninsula College, created courses, and also having to work with a group and as an individual and be collaborative and cooperative, as well as being able to stand alone and make that tough call. I now live here, and I devote my full efforts to volunteering in the community and in my children's schools. And that is what I think brings me to the thing that distinguishes me most for this position. I'm in the trenches with the teachers and the students and the principals of the schools in the San Luis Coastal Unified School District. For the last 4 years, I have volunteered as a classroom volunteer. So I work on an almost daily basis with teachers in our classrooms and students, and I see what their needs are, what their resource needs are, what their struggles are. I hear from them about what their concerns are and what their wishes are for improving their learning and teaching environment. I have been on the site council at the elementary school level and on the middle school level for the past 4 years. So I work closely with the principals and making decisions about the budgets and our priorities, and working with other parents and leaders at the school. I've worked with the students. I directed the school play, and that is a labor of love. Over 100 hours volunteering to work with sixth graders in a production is something that I truly loved doing, and that you have to truly love kids to do that, as you probably know. I am currently the parent of a fourth grader and a ninth grader, so I have elementary school involvement as well as high school involvement, and I'm going to be in this school district for a very long time. So I guess the thing I'd like to underscore is that you sort of need a foot soldier sometimes in your midst, and I feel like I have a finger on the pulse of what is going on a daily basis with our teachers and our parents. I was also president of the Booster Club at our school, and so I feel like I could be a liaison in many ways to all of your different constituencies.
In your view, what are the critical issues currently facing public education and our district in particular, and how would you suggest a school board respond?
Big circumstances. I think that in order to meet the goals that you've outlined for yourselves last month of giving every student the opportunity to learn to their maximum potential, we need to address the class size ratio between students and teachers. We can do that by natural attrition, since our population is shrinking, and rather than look at that as a deficit, we could look at it as a plus in terms of accomplishing that goal. We'll have to be a little more creative then, too, because we'll have to come up with some ideas for supporting our teachers in that environment. What I've seen happening this year is that the classes have gotten bigger because the teachers have been retiring, and rather than replacing them, we've allowed those classes to get larger. I think that's not a satisfactory solution, and I'd like to see us work hard to come up with a solution to making a 25-to-1 or even a 19-to-1 ratio, ideally. Other issues. I very much endorse the notion that we look for opportunities in our student population to find students who might not otherwise be able to take advantage of college, and identify them early so we can give them the power to learn and to be helped in the process of learning the skills in elementary school so that they can then go on to be very successful middle school students and high school students and be on track for college. We have not a huge social economically disadvantaged group in this community, but a significant one. And there I see our opportunity to be equal opportunity educators in our public school system and try to identify those students who have the ability to learn if they can have the support systems in place after school, at school. Many of those parents are single parents or working parents and not able to help their children in the way that some parents can. And the school can do a great deal to help bring those students to their full potential.
Each year during the strategic plan budget process, the board is asked to consider far more budget proposals than there is actual budget money to budget to fund. How would you develop your priorities in such a situation?
Well, those are priorities, in fact, but I think as a group, we should arrive at those priorities and then work through the budget accordingly. I noticed that you're looking for revenue streams to try to support some of the new ideas that are being proposed. And, you know, I think the sky's the limit there. I think it would be fascinating to be entrepreneurial and to see if we can use some of the facilities that are available to us and some of the talents in this district to make all of our dreams realized.
When special interests come before the board, there's frequently a volume of communication from the interested party. Others, who may be less organized, may have little or no voice come forward. As a board member, what is your responsibility to consider both voiced and unvoiced points of view, and how do you explain that to a vocal, one-sided audience?
Well, I think it's incumbent upon each board member to feel out their constituents throughout the district, even though we're assigned trustee areas, we're all serving at the pleasure of everyone within the district. And so it's our responsibility to go into the schools, to talk to the parents, to talk to the teachers and the principals and the students, and make sure that we are informed in our own minds as to what the issue really is, and not have the quiet voices drowned out by the more vocal ones. And at the same time, be able to take a firm position. It must be very tempting to yield to the louder voices in the room. But we do have to, as a board, I think, be able to take a position, not punt, and maybe an unpopular position.
And finally, in your view, what makes a good board member and what is a good board? And then what special ingredient do you see yourself bringing to the board?
Okay. I truly don't say this to congratulate you, but I have heard, as I've been preparing with this particular group, hear your opinions, learn from the community, and together continue the work that you've set out for us. The ingredient that I bring, I think, is an ability to be a consensus builder and yet to make tough decisions when they're needed, to try to find a win-win position, solution, and to resist the temptation to form a study group, but to make a decision and move on and let the administrators and the teachers do their jobs.
Would you like to make a closing remark on your behalf?
Well, I'm very pleased to have had this opportunity, and thank you for taking this so carefully into consideration. I'm confident that you will make an excellent choice because you've made so many excellent choices. And I'm very honored to have been among your considerees. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Are there follow-up questions, Mr. Spadafore?
I had a question. Catherine, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for coming tonight. The question I had was about the districts, because as you know and everybody knows, four of the board members are from the San Luis Obispo area and three are from the coast. And I was wondering if you felt at all that it was a handicap for you being familiar with or comfortable with the issues on the coast, considering the fact that your two children are, even though in our school district, are in San Luis Obispo. Does that interfere or handicap you at all in understanding the coastal issues of the schools here in this area?
Thank you. I don't believe it does, but I appreciate your raising the concern. I think it's important for us to take note that we do have open enrollment at two of our schools, and I hope that everyone in the district feels they have the opportunity to take advantage of those programs if they're considered to be the right programs for their children. In my case, I moved to this area the year the school in Morro Bay was closed, and and my son was entering kindergarten, and so the kindergarten here at Del Mar was impacted, and we weren't able to get in. So it was a necessity, and so fortunately, because of the open enrollment at Teach, our older son was able to enroll at Teach, and then they were able to be on the same campus. And this is, every family has to make their own individual decisions about that. But in terms of being in tune with my children, who I consider extensions of our family, who are at the high school, so I do feel like I'm in touch with these issues, since I do live here and have a number of people who are engaged. But and I hope that it wouldn't be considered as a negative, because this is an example of fully utilizing the resources of our district.
Other questions from board members? Thank you very much, Catherine. We appreciate your being here.
Thanks. Hi.
Good evening, Jim.
Hi.
And welcome.
Thank you.
We appreciate your interest in being a member of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District's Board of Education. We've read your papers and are impressed by the qualifications of all of our candidates.
I bet you say that to everybody.
You're absolutely right, I do. We'll be conducting an interview consisting of five questions and lasting approximately 15 minutes. You might want to pace your answers accordingly. You have the questions in front of you, and at the end of the interview, you're invited to share a brief closing comment if you wish. Once you've completed the interview, you're welcome to stay with us here. We'll begin the public deliberations, and then we'll make a decision following the conclusion of our interviews. And again, thanks for joining us tonight. And I will point out that just because I say that to everybody, it's true.
I was sure of it.
So the first question, could you share with the board some of your background and experience which prepares you to serve on the board? And then why are you interested in doing so?
Yeah, first of all, before I do anything, I have to explain this voice to get worse. So bear with me, and I'll try to get through this, okay? First of all, my experience has been considerable in the field of public education, and winding up with 11 years as a school superintendent. I retired early, moved to Los Osos, and got involved with education from a different point of view, working with Cal Poly, working with teachers and administrators in their training, supervising administrators. One of your own administrators, Rick Robinette, was one of my students. Very good one, by the way. And then got involved in a program called the Golden State Exam. Comes and goes. I'm sorry, we're going to fight this all night. Golden State Exams, and we were involved in that.
Would you like some water?
I just had a bottle, but I think I'm okay. Thanks, Chris. Golden State Exam, and I was with the San Luis Obispo County Office of Education for 6 years. We ran that program. And then the county decided they didn't want to do it anymore, so I got a call from the San Joaquin County. They wanted to do it. They asked me to write an application with the State Department for this project. So I went to San Joaquin, and I'm still working as a consultant for San Joaquin County Office of Education, who has a contract with the State Department of Education. And as a result of this experience, I feel like I'm really keeping myself pretty current in terms of what's happening with education. And in addition to that, I work as a consultant and working with the West Ed sort of keeps me up with those things that are happening. And we got involved in a big symposium, and this is the document that came as a result of that. And then of working with the San Joaquin County office, we were in Sacramento with this superintendent summit the last 3 days. And I think because of my involvement in education, it just seems a natural sequence of events to just move in the direction of a board member. Committed as I am to the whole concept of public education, seems like a natural step. So here I am.
In particular, what are the critical issues facing public education and our district in particular? And then how would you suggest a school board respond?
It's going to make a difference. The English is a second language. English language learners. It's another population that's going to need some help. And I think there's some things that are happening in the state that will make a difference for those students. And I think we need to be knowledgeable about them and put them to work. I think there's another issue that's kind of, I don't know, unique, but whether it's district-wide or if it's just the Los Osos area, but the price of housing is moving families out of our area, and schools are declining, and we do really have to look at that problem. And the issue of declining enrollment is one that I faced as a superintendent when I first went to San Carlos. And we, typical reaction, you close a school. You save a lot of money when you close a school. These are issues that you have to look at. You don't jump into them, you know, quickly, but you need to look down road and see at what point will these kinds of actions need to take place. Then you need to prepare a community for those actions. But you have to begin somewhere, and you have to begin looking at them, your demographics today and the projections for the years to come, and see how that plays out. And then you take the action required.
Each year during the strategic plan budget process, the board is asked to consider far more budget proposals than there is actual budget to fund.
Surprise.
How would you develop your priorities in such a situation?
Well, I think this board has done a very good job of trying to involve schools and using the school site councils, which are just a terrific possibility. So every school sort of looks at their own priorities, and those come from the site council themselves. And as you put those things together, you'll be surprised at how much overlap there is. It's schools A and school B need the same kinds of things. And I think the issue of trying to prioritize is always a problem. But it's the kind of thing, there are all kinds of processes to help you prioritize, and they're easily done, and they may not be popular, they do get done, and priorities do get set. will have two sides to it. And I think when you talk about special interests come before the board, you usually see it coming. And as you see it coming, you sort of plan for it. And this planning can be place months ahead, or it can be weeks ahead, or it can be hours ahead. But you have to plan for it. You know it's going to happen. You come to this board meeting. You know there are going to be people there who've got things to say. You need to make sure your procedures and policies are in place to talk about how you involve the community in presenting to the board, the time allotment, the kinds of comments they can make. Those procedures help organize the process so that you don't get blindsided by somebody who just keeps going on and on, repeating the same thing over and over again. So those are some things in which you can control that a little bit. I think the point about the people that you don't hear from is a difficult one, but I think you have an entree to the community as a board member, and again, these issues, as they come before you, you have a plan, you have a process, you have an agenda, you know about it ahead of time, you have an opportunity to talk to other people in your sphere of influence. Where are they? What do they think about this particular thing? And if it's a particularly troublesome thing, it's not going to be a surprise. You're going to know about it in plenty of time to talk to people. And you will know this before you come to the meeting. And you can give voice to those people who can't be there. And I think it's important that you do that. And I think that's just the way it's done. So I think that's the way I would handle it.
In your view, what makes a good board member, and what is a good board? What special ingredient do you see yourself bringing to the board?
Well, I'll start with the last part of that. I think my experience in school districts would be helpful to any board. And I think any time you bring a new board member into a mix of a board, particularly in a school board, there's a need to know a lot of information. And having had extensive board only as authority as a board, it's not individual board members, it's the board. And as an individual board member, I would work with other board members to form a consensus in terms of what it is that we in fact want to do as a board. Lone Ranger board members are dangerous and can be a real problem for not only the board, but for the school district. And I would not be a Lone Ranger. And a good board, it seems to me, it's important that the board member understands their role. And their role is to make policy and set direction. And board members intend to want to do everything, and in reality, they can't do everything, and they sometimes mess it up. So if they pay attention to their role and do their role and let others do theirs, it makes for a better running school district. And particularly if you have the kind of competent, committed, and caring staff. You love that? Three C's. I thought about that a lot. Competent, committed, and caring staff that you have in this district. When you have that kind of staff, it makes the board member's job a lot easier.
And would you like to make a closing remark on your behalf?
I don't think I need to. I think I've said all I need to say, and you're running a little bit late behind. Let's wrap it up.
Well, thank you very much. Are there any follow-up questions from board members? Okay, thank you very much, Jim.
Yeah.
We will be conducting an interview consisting of 5 questions lasting approximately 15 minutes. You might want to pace your answers accordingly. You have the questions in front of you. At the end of the interview, you're invited to share a brief closing comment if you wish. Once you've completed the interview, you're welcome to stay with us here. We will be publicly deliberating and making a decision following the conclusion of all the interviews. Again, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Getting started, could you share with the board some of your background and experience which prepares you to serve on the board, and why are you interested in doing so?
Yes, I could. thank you again for inviting me and giving me this opportunity. My interest in doing this is that I believe in supporting your community, giving back to your community, being part of your community. And the school board is an area where I think I could be a benefit in for the community there. My background, the two main things in the background is that one of the things I do outside of teaching at the university at Cal Poly is I actively participate in the Masonry Society. And the Masonry Society is an international organization that writes the building code for the United States and the International Building Code. And I have been on the board of directors there for that society. And I've come to know and understand what a board does, you know, make the policy, review the policy, not implement the policy. That's what we have. You know, there's usually other people to do that and give direction of where the organization is to go. You know, where is it now, what helps us, and where is it going to go in the future, and how are we going to get there? And then on a more local note, I'm also a member of the board for the San Luis Girls Coastal Softball League. And that's well, it's fun, actually. but there we get to have a little bit more of implementing our policy as opposed to just making it, but that's okay. So right now, it's just my background.
In your view, what are the critical issues currently facing public education and our district in particular? And how would you suggest a school board respond?
Critical issues facing public education. There's a philosophical one, which I don't know if we can immediately address, but that's... having monies leave and then go to Sacramento and then get distributed out, I don't think is the best, but that's something I don't think we can address. What we have locally, a critical issue, is that our staff, our faculty, is going to retire en masse, basically, okay? And so how do we, there's just experience there. How do you harness that experience without it, you know, It's going to be going. How do we attract younger, new faculty, especially in this area where the cost of living is, at least housing, is rather difficult? So that's just a huge issue, this turnover that's coming up. And it's going to be here. I know one school in particular, my daughter's school, it will be here next year. Okay, so I'm sure all our other schools are in a similar situation. And so that's a big issue that's right now on our plate. Another smaller one that's just an interest is that we do a good job really looking at the lower learners and help them out and give them opportunities and bring them up. But I think we sort of look over our advanced learners. You know, how can we push the top learners? Or how do we take an average learner and get them up to be a top learner, you know? So I'm not saying we can solve that tomorrow or the next day, but that's an issue of the school system. So those two are two issues, but the biggest one is the faculty right now. And then, of course, there's always the issue right here. Are we losing students? Are we staying even? So, you know, student population itself is out there. And I'll just stop right there.
Each year during the strategic plan budget process, the board is asked to consider far more budget proposals than there is actual budget to fund.
You leading a group in order to, this is just me personally, I'm not saying I'm going to lead the school board, I'm just saying this is how I handle big projects, and a budget is a big project, is you got to put your goal out there and always keep it in sight. Where are you going? Where do you want to go? And so with that, you then start parsing and breaking down the items. Is it the immediate goal, our issue? Is it a future goal? Are we, you know, if it exists, are we making amends for past, you know? So when you start parsing those out, it's you put them under your goals, and then you prioritize them that way. Usually immediate wins. But at the same time, you're going to have to juggle saying, hey, our future is this way. This is what we have as a school board. This is where we want to be 3, 5, 10 years down the line. And if we don't fund it today, we won't be there 3, 5 years, 10 years down the line. And so is there something today, you know, those types of issues. And one of the things I see personally from big projects is that we get focused on what's due today, what's due today, what I need to get done today, and you forget about taking the steps to make sure tomorrow happens. So in a nutshell, you have immediate costs, this year's costs, and then you have your long term. And the long term isn't just 20 years. You have to break it down into 3, 5, 10 years. Because I think 3 years is a near-term goal. That's something we could probably materialize. Five is, hey, let's shoot for this. And 10 might be, hey, you know, master planning type thing down the line. But then you subtitle all these, put them underneath there, and then are you honest with yourself? Are you honest with the public that this is a long-term goal? And if it is, are you going to fund it? If you're not, then you're not. And some years that I've seen, you know, we've been in a budget crisis where all we had was this year. Okay, that happens about 3 or 4 years ago, and that was a tough year. And so,
when special interests come before the board, there is frequently a volume of communication from the interested party. Others, who are less organized, may have little or no voice come forward.
As a the issue put into the code, and they have all this research, and they just bury you with research, and then one or two practicing people come up and say, you know what, I don't see why we need that. And so my experience is, you can't, well, I don't want to say can't because that's an absolute. It has been a benefit to me in the past when these come up is not to make a decision there. If all you're getting is one side and it's loud, you acknowledge it and you recognize it, you know, that it's there's obviously a concern here because listen to it, it's here. But you got to give yourself the opportunity to find out what's on the other side. And so I would say it is your responsibility as a board member to consider the large and the not large voices and how do you explain to a vocal one-sided is, hey, you know, I need time to digest this. I'm not going to act on this tonight. I hear you, but there are two sides to every issue, and I like to think that that's personally one of my strong points, is that I can put myself on either side, and that might also be a weakness because I sit there and, you know, play both sides, and might not be as definitive as I could be. So that's a strong point and a weak point. But
in your view, what makes you a good board member, and what is a good board? What special ingredient do you see yourself bringing to the board?
Good board member's willingness, just willing to do it. And what special ingredient? I'm for the faculty. I'll just flat out tell you. So when the issues come up, I'll be looking at what are the best policies for our faculty to grow. For the school system. The school system still has to function. If you don't have the school system, you don't have the faculty. So it's not an absolute. But if I had to say, do I have a campaign banner, that's how I'll be looking at things. Okay, that issue, that policy, what's going to happen to the teachers? You know, how does that help the teachers, or how does that hinder the teachers? Or, you know, and it can be, hey, that's just the nature of the beast. And it has to happen in order to keep the school system going. And so, boom. But so the strong point, or what I can bring, again, is look at issues on both sides. What makes a good board is having, I don't like the word diversity because the root part of it is division, but having a wide berth of experience. And so if we do have people with administrative backgrounds who say, you know, hey, you know, Craig, I appreciate your stance or your, support of the faculty, but here are the issues. And I'll sit there and go, oh, good point, you know. So openness, again, looking at both sides. And so I appreciate everybody's background. Willingness is a big thing. Appreciate everybody's background to what they bring, because we do need that willingness and background, the wide berth, and then openness to listen. You know, I can be persuaded, but at the same time, I hope I can persuade you. But I like to think instead of that we have a commonality, and all our issues will be unanimous. That happens, right?
Usually. But would you like to make a closing remark on your behalf?
My closing remark is that, again, it's just giving back to the community. I think this is, with my background and experience, a part that I can make a contribution. Again, I've done it on a very smaller scale with the softball board. And I am thankful and happy that you asked me here tonight. And if you have any questions of me, I will answer them.
And I would say I think we already asked plenty of questions. Is there anybody that would like to ask Mr. Millar?
Example of the board would be, should we start considering a Spanish code because of the global system? Now, if the board says yes, then it goes to the committees, and the committees would then start developing it. And then it would come to the Technical Activities Committee, which I now sit on, and I would then have that, which you described, authority. And so
to bring it forward and get approval.
Exactly.
And let's say if your board decided because of, say, hurricanes or something, that one aspect of the code that you wanted to be reviewed would have to do with building specifications and those kinds of areas. Is that a type of organizational judgment and guidance decision that you would make?
Yeah, the board would make. Yeah, board, yes. The board would say, okay, in addition to the code that we're writing, we now want to do disasters investigations. And so are we going to form a committee and start down that?
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks very much, Craig.
Oh, thank you.
Greetings. Hello.
Good evening. And Larry Hazlett.
Right. Larry Hazlett, yeah. I've had a chance to look at my resume, I'm sure, but it's good to be here. Let me say a couple of things. I'm new.
Well, can you hang on and I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to read a statement that I'm reading to everybody.
Okay.
And then I'll give you a chance to answer some questions and make a statement on your own behalf. And I just want to say welcome, and we appreciate your interest in being a member of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District's Board of Education. We've read your papers and are impressed by the qualifications of all of our candidates. We'll be conducting an interview consisting of 5 questions and lasting approximately 15 minutes. You might want to pace your answers accordingly.
Let me first say that I'm a passionate believer in public education. I benefited my life from public education. I was a teacher for 31 years, and I know this has been said 1,000 times, but public education is the backbone of this country. It's the backbone of this community. You know, I retired a year and a half ago, and I told myself it's time to enter a new life, but I can't seem to get away from being involved in education, okay? My background, as you probably is for the audience to know, is I was a classroom teacher for 31 years. I think my strength was, during that 31 years, I've worked with every type of student, and I understand what's important in the classroom. I work with kids who would call that risk. I worked with kids in special ed. I taught the best and brightest for a matter of years in programs. I worked with, quote, the average kid, which is, you know, whatever we want to define that kid as being. And I was an outstanding teacher, was always respected by my peers, and always one of the favorites of the students. And I think my biggest concern is this district in particular is that you face the impending situation like a lot of school districts in California. It's you know, the baby boomer generation is going to be retiring soon, and who do you bring in to replace them? And of course, I'd like to see the best and brightest people possible. And to kind of say a little bit more about that is the key thing for new teachers is that they've got to get support. And I don't mean just conferences. I mean, I'd like to see the thing I'm concerned about is that teachers share with teachers, because it's been said before, and the most important thing that happens in the education system is who's in the classroom. Good teachers have a better effect upon students. I can go on and on about research, but you can take kids that don't perform well, and given a quality teacher, someone has a background, someone has that special ability to teach, to connect with kids, can make a difference and touch that kid and uplift that kid and get them to the next level. Because there's a lot of kids out there that have these dreams, have these goals, but they're running adrift, and that concerns me. Okay. You know, a couple other things. I'm currently supervising young teachers for Chapman and the University of Laverne, so I'm kind of keeping my hand with teaching. But it's that passion for bringing in young teachers, and I'm trying to repeat myself. I want to see that when they start, they get support, so they can become effective teachers.
In your view, what are the critical issues currently facing public education?
I've touched upon that, but the first thing I would say is bringing in new teachers and retaining them. Because when you teach in a classroom, especially when you're new, you go for that period of building confidence. Sometimes you feel isolated. And what I like to see is possible of being at least the high school and junior high level. And the same with elementary school teachers, is that if you can get, because this is, you know, if you can get teachers from, let's say, this district, once in a while to meet and exchange lesson plans and to share ideas with teachers maybe from the Tascadero School District or the Paso Robles School District or Lucia Mara School District, where you get teachers to share each other. And then you get to know each other on a personal level, so they give each other support. Because teaching can be a very daunting task, especially the first few years. Sometimes you feel like you're alone. You don't want to admit that you've got some problems and you're learning to deal with discipline and most effectively how to come up with effective ways of delivering education, planning, and so forth. So you need that support. Other thing is, which is, all of you are aware of, is I read the newspaper religiously. I'm a current events junkie, and of course the state is facing some fiscal problems with the $8 to $10 billion deficit, and that's going to put a lot of burden on the board in particular how to deal with that. That's going to be a daunting issue. And then there's issues like closing schools, and that's always controversial. You know, that's something that no one wants to touch, and that's going to be tough because it looks like. unless the state comes with some money, it looks like there's going to have to be some serious decisions made. And I would just emphasize, and it's been said before, that the classroom should be the last area where you cut back. And a few other things, so I don't go on and on. Obviously, the changing demographics of the ESL students, which I taught for quite a few years, 6-7 years of my career, I worked with these students. That's a challenge to get up to the English skills, get those up to level. You want to have good leadership where schools feel valued, teachers feel valued, and people work as a team. People can have honest discussion. Okay, leadership is very important. Once again, it's how do you reach those middle students? Those students that sometimes are neglected. We've got programs for those that excel. We have programs for those that are sometimes at risk. It's like, what do you do to reach those middle students? That's always been a concern of mine. I know that having taught for years, I got to the point where I worked with the best and the brightest and students that had some educational difficulties. I got to the point where I actually preferred those middle kids that often don't get the attention. And let me mention a couple other things here. I hope I don't go on too long. I know everybody's probably wants to end this at some point. A couple of things I suggest is intramurals at high school and probably junior high. And what I mean by that is, I'm concerned about, it's mind and body. They work together. You can't develop mind unless you're really body. We all know about obesity and running rampant in this country. If we can do something to get that large group of kids who don't engage in any physical activity. And what I'd like to see is an intramurals program at the high school level and junior high where you had the kids that are non-athletic, that aren't going for sports, where you could go after school, and there'd have to be some supervision. Of course, that makes an allocation of money. Hopefully, you could tap into people in the community that would be able to do that. And you can get kids to play softball, volleyball, kickball, even Frisbee, because what you get is not only physical activity, you get kids to feel connected to each other. And when kids feel connected with each other, then the school becomes the place they want to be. And I still think when you've got a dropout rate that runs anywhere from 12 to 13 or 15%, okay, I think sometimes it's the human element where you reach those kids and you get them connected with peers, and teachers have a big effect upon that. So I'd like to, we can talk about bringing retired people in as mentors. We've got a lot of people in this area that are retired. For young boys or girls that are having trouble as early as the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th grade, they're probably pretty easy to identify, and trying to hook them up with some mentoring programs. Mentoring doesn't necessarily have to be, something as simple where someone meets that kid once a week and checks on homework. Just that someone's interested in that kid.
Okay. Each year during the strategic plan budget process, the board is asked to consider far more budget proposals than there's actual budget to fund. How would you develop your priorities in such a situation?
That's got to be the hardest task that you guys face, because there's so many things that need to be done in education. There's always areas to improve. What do you prioritize? I think, off the top of my head, I think the first thing, obviously you have to listen to community, because you're a board representative. You have to be in touch with how the community feels. I mean that's an obligation that you have. I mean, and of course I have my own particular feelings, but you have to weigh your own, what you feel important about, what the community feels. And I think by visiting schools, talking to administrators, talking to kids at junior high and high school, talking to elementary school teachers and finding out what the concerns are, looking at surveys, meeting with the community. And then I think, at least as a board member in my own case, I would try to develop my own individual priority. And I think it's working with 6 or 7 people, it's a matter of getting together, collegiality, knowing each other, be willing to listen to each other, accept ideas, brainstorm and see, what a board can agree upon. Like one thing I'll mention is I think and I don't know if this district does this, but I think public speaking is important. And let me just say this about public speaking. I know that it was a thing that kids feared the most in high school. But what I found when I taught is that if you take it in increments and you do it on a regular basis, kids, it isn't so much the speaking, they feel better about themselves. They develop confidence and they're able to get in front of their peers. And we live in a world where people are very verbal, and verbal skills oftentimes demands, ends up in a lucrative type of employment. But that's one thing I like to see is, maybe I'm kind of off to the side, but something like that I would like to take interest in implementing that as far as a district policy. Okay.
When special interests come before the board, there's frequently a volume of communication from the interested party. others who are less organized may have little or no voice come forward. As a board member, what is your responsibility to consider both voiced and unvoiced points of view, and how do you explain that to a vocal, one-sided audience?
That's got to be very hard, because one thing I've always had strong opinions about a lot of things, but one thing that I've based my life upon, I remember when I was a young man, I used to carry around a famous quote in my wallet for years, and it said, "I do not agree with the word that you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." But it actually, Voltaire didn't actually say that. It was attributed to Voltaire. But I believe in an open forum. I believe in people expressing ideas. And even though if I disagree with parents or disagree with an interest group or even disagree with some of you people, I would certainly, you know, handle, let you speak what's important to you, express your opinion, and for God's sake, listen and pay attention. Because sometimes when you have an avenue of ideas, no matter how far right they may seem, sometimes some of those ideas could be valid solutions to problems. I think we need to listen more. Okay, I know that parents can sometimes get, you know, certain there's interest groups that get concerned about things, and it becomes very controversial, ends up in the press, and then you have to take a position. But I think you know you're open, you listen. And sometimes that's hard, but you make that as the cornerstone of your point. But then I also think that there's a point when you have to take a stand. You have to do what you believe is right. You know, and like I say, you weigh that between your own feeling, what's happening in the schools and the community.
And our last question: in your view, what makes a good board member, and what is a good board? What special ingredient do you see yourself bringing to the board?
Well, I call it the game of life. Okay, education, and for all of us are human beings. It's a matter of communication and working with people. Okay, and what makes a board member effective is being able to work, cooperate, give, take, listen, respect. Simple things that all of us have been brought up at one time and told that are good. I mean, I think as a country, as a culture, we don't listen enough. I know I'm very opinionated, but I have to tell myself, listen, listen, listen. And the most important thing is it's more effective to accomplish a goal by making some compromises and working with people than staying off on the side and believing you're right and refusing to go along. It's tough sometimes because you've got your own particular position, but you want to accomplish a goal. You want to see things implemented. So once again, it's also, you know, as a board member, you've got a myriad of administrators. You want to work with them closely. I was particularly impressed, and I'll be honest, I haven't watched a lot of board meetings. I actually turned one on tonight. I go, I've got an interview here in about 20 minutes, so I might want to know what's going on, because I'm new to the area. And I was watching the way you guys handled yourself and Ms. Matakovich's report about the goals of the district. I was pretty impressed the way that you guys conduct yourself, and I was impressed with the report. And at times, I attended school board districts where I taught for 31 years, and I was familiar with what went on in the community I lived with. And at times, I didn't see it. I saw a lot of rancor, and I saw a lot of disinterest. But all of you seemed to be, at least semblance, you showed like you were active listeners. I mean, I remember seeing board members sometimes that, you know, you could see that they didn't care what people were saying. And you have to at least listen. So it's been said 1,000 times before, cooperation. The other thing I bring, I think, is enthusiasm, passion, compassion. It's the cornerstone of life.
And lastly, would you like to make a closing remark on your behalf?
I think I've said, I'll probably just reiterate what I've said. I think my strongest points are is that I'm passionate about things. I have a lot of passion, concern. I'm cooperative. I'm friendly. I'm flexible. I've got a great sense of humor. I won't talk about my weakness. We all have some of those. I still believe that it's been said before, you know, where the rubber hits the highways in the classroom. I know that I think it's 85%, give or take a few percent, of the expenditures the school district goes towards you know, the pay salaries for teachers. And I still believe that the teacher in the classroom has the greatest impact. Okay, and I want to do whatever I can to foster quality teaching. That's probably my first and foremost concern.
Great. Any questions from other board members? Mr. Spadafore.
Just a couple. I was just thinking to myself, I can tell by your passion for teaching, and I said, this is the person I would have loved to have as a teacher in my classroom when I was going through school. And the question I had, because two things. You're new to the community. You just moved up here within the last year or two.
Right, correct.
Tell us a little bit about the community connections you developed down south when you were living there for so many years outside the district, and also a little bit about what kind of group work you did either in the district or outside of the district down south, the kind of type of work you did, how you saw yourself contributing to group work.
That's a real good question. I'll be honest with you. In the community, I wasn't particularly involved. I guess I went for the stage in life where I was so engrossed with my job, I didn't have a lot of time. I mean, I used to spend hours and hours on lesson plans and fine-tuning things. That was my major focus. I know this doesn't sound the right thing to say, but if you really put your heart into teaching and you make it a commitment and you have the passion, you're tired. I would come home. I know the last 11 years, I was grading essays clear up into the last week before I left. So I didn't have the time to put in the community. Of course, now that I'm retired, I've got more time. It's been said 1,000 times before. I want to give back. As far as the school, I was involved in a lot of particular group work. Our school went through, I think the thing that stands out the most, probably, I was able to move from special education to regular education, which was nice because change is inevitable and change is good. It gave me a kind of a new fire in teaching. And I was involved in restructuring. There was about 10 to 15 teachers. And, you know, this is back, I want to say, in the late 80s, early 90s, of how to change the school. A lot of the ideas that are implemented today, I mean, I've heard the AVID program, bringing AP to accessible to more kids, which I believe strongly, and I used to have, but I was involved in that. I was involved in a lot of group work in relation to curriculum for ESL. Social studies, I worked with the team. I was a teachers association representative for 5 years. I did that as a young teacher and was involved with that process and representing the school. Those are things that come off the top of my head. But I think the greatest, and I'm repeating myself, I think I spent probably an inordinate amount of time on teaching itself and things of that nature. Okay. So now I've got time to pursue. You bet.
Okay, thank you. Before we deliberate, could we just take a minute? I need to think about all the great answers we've got. Sure. I think that's okay with the rest of the board. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah.
Just for a point of clarification for myself, Mr. Stanfill, was San Carlos a basic aid school district?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Wow. Can we just take maybe just about a 2-minute break? I need to get up and just take a stretch. We'll make it a 5-minute break. If everybody can hang on for 5 minutes, we'll take a quick stretch. Board members, shall we get back together and make some tough decisions? Okay, are we ready? Yeah. First of all, again, on behalf of the board, I'd just like to thank everybody who took their time to come out here, who decided that it was worth taking a risk in public to expose themselves in an interview that you would hopefully never, ever have to have. And now comes the really hard part, because we need to talk about you in public, and this is a part of an interview that you'd never see. I think I'd also like to thank you for coming forward and thinking about serving your community in a way that is many times thankless, but in many ways is well appreciated. I think one of the things that I'm always amazed at is when I'm in the store or when I'm talking to folks and they look at me and they say, thank you for doing this job, and I don't know how you do it. And all I can say is, this is one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life, and I'm thankful every day for having the opportunity to work with a great group of people in a great district for a great bunch of kids. It's afforded me opportunities that I never thought that I would ever be able to have or achieve in my lifetime. And so I would hope that whoever's chosen and those of you who aren't chosen have some of those wonderful opportunities and those wonderful times, because you certainly deserve them for being here. What I'd like to do is open this up for board discussion. And it's going to be a hard thing. One thing I would ask, and of course it's up to the various board members how they want to handle it, but I would ask that no one out of the chute make a motion. I think that we would, I think in all fairness, it would be best for us to discuss everybody and then go ahead and make some motions and see how things fall out. And from there, I'd like to open the discussion for board members. Anybody wants to start?
Start.
You want? Thank you, Mrs. Dickinson.
I'm Adrienne Dickinson, and it was really different just to sit here and just watch everything. And I really watched each one of you and listened to you speak. And thank you for coming. I appreciate that very much. Everybody brought wonderful gifts. I have sort of what occurred to me just in the last few moments, though, looking at each person, is that you all kind of, even though you all understand the complexities and have different ways of looking at it, to me, it seems like, let me just do an order. Sterling Heck is kind of like the community perspective. He talks about democracy and consensus and cooperation and community service. And that's a really important part, the community perspective. Catherine, to me, represents like the learner's perspective from the child's point of view. I want more space in my classroom, and I want more attention from my teacher. And you talked about being a learner your whole life, clear to the nth degree of the doctorate degree. So you have a learner's perspective. Who is next? Jim Stanfill, administrator's perspective. You know, preparing the community for what's going to be happening. And listening, of course, talking to people. You know, it's all about the site councils and you know, all the various parts of administration. A lot of experience with that. Craig, board perspective. You know, about big projects and goals. Well, I like the willing to learn. You mentioned willing. You have to be very willing to be on a board. The wide berth of experience that's necessary for the board, consensus building. And then Larry Hazlett is definitely a teacher's perspective. You know, with words in the margin, teachers kind of bubble out with all this information, being one myself of... it's like too much information about all the stuff going on in schools and with children, and it just keeps coming. But that is the teacher's perspective. So then I would have to just stop and think of all these perspectives, which are all so important. And I know you all represent more than this. I'm really, you know, unfairly limiting you to something here, but it's a way for me to get a handle on a difficult situation. And I think all of these perspectives are very important. But for me, that since we're always talking about our district is child-centered and what's best for the students is what really drives our decisions, I would have to say that I would go for someone with a learner's perspective, more even than teachers and board and community and administrators, I guess. I don't know yet, so I don't know. I'm going to listen to everybody else because... you know, one of you talked about your decision-making. Everyone has a different decision-making style, and mine is not a fast one. I like to think about it all from all the sides, so I haven't decided, but That's my way of looking at it right now. So thank you, though, very much.
John? If we'll go down the row. Okay. This is probably one of the most difficult things because you're dealing with individuals who are committed and have a wealth of experience. And I can say that about everybody who's here tonight, that your passion for public education and your experience and your commitment to what we all feel strongly about, which is the best educational program for our children, is all evidence. So how do you make a decision, you know, picking from so many people who are committed to such a wonderful process? And it's not easy. And I, like Adrian, haven't settled on one person, and I'm waiting to hear everyone up here's point of view about this to kind of see how this all filters through. But one thing that's important to me is a person who does have the experience and the background and the commitment and the energy and wants to have the best district for our children, who doesn't have all the answers but is willing to look at the solution, is willing to work for what could be better, what could be the best way to approach the issues that we all face. I think one that has answers isn't necessarily the one who comes up with the best solution. I also think that the balance between community and family and the experience that you've had with that indicates not only where you're coming from, but what's important for you. And there's certainly a lot of people tonight here who have, you know, been very a good example of that. And the creative background, I think, is important also for a board member, because although educators have spent their life in education, there still is, I think, a benefit to having viewpoints from outside the education field to help balance and to add some energy and influence into what decisions are made on the board, because the board really represents the community. The board has to represent the community's interest in having a district that's as good as it can be for the benefit of their children, and I think that's critical also. So like Adrian, I'm not sure, and I'm looking forward to hearing from everyone else tonight as we work towards what's not an easy decision, because it is an important decision. But I'll thank you all for being here, and we'll see where it goes.
I was explaining to folks that in the past, when I've made this decision, there was clearly somebody who I thought did not belong on the board, and I don't feel that way tonight. I'm going to do something that I haven't done in the past when we're talking about candidates, and I'm going to talk about what are not only some of the things that I liked about the candidates, but I'm also going to talk about some of my concerns that I have with each person. I know that this is going to be difficult, but I think that it's something that maybe will help me solidify what my decision would be, or what my first choice would be. Sterling, I'm impressed with your commitment to education, your years of experience in Cayucas, the fact that you've been a teacher, you've been a parent, you're married to a teacher of this in the school district. You've had lots of different perspectives. I got to tell you, I was concerned that you really came into it and didn't really seem as prepared as I would have expected. I feel like you probably understand education pretty well, but I don't know that you had a real grasp of what some of the issues were that the district is facing, because in my opinion, we're facing a lot of issues. In fact, for all of you, that is a concern. I'm going to put it out there. That's a concern I have right now. None of you have really been to school board meetings. One of the great pieces of advice I got from Ted Wheeler, and it's too late for it now, was you go to school board meetings before you get on the school board. And I went to about 6 months worth of school board meetings when it was the best show in town. And so... Whoever we choose is going to get their baptism by fire real quick. I'm sort of diverging from where we need to go with this, but I'm going to tell you that because I think one of the issues that we're going to be facing, the most critical issue we're going to be facing, is not only the achievement gap and retirements of teachers, but we're going to be, the state is facing a $10 billion deficit within the next couple of years, $6 to $8 billion, I believe, this year, and $10 billion by about the next year. And that is most certainly going to mean budget cuts for this school district. And that's something we're going to need to be thinking about. Catherine, you gave great answers, and I am impressed with your community connections, with your volunteerism, with the work that you've done. One thing that I was a little concerned about, you've allayed some of my fears on this, was your connection to the coast. This is a coastal seat, and I feel very strongly as a representative of, as you say, the school district at large, which is absolutely something that I keep in my thoughts at all the time. But the history of the school district is such that it was San Luis Coastal Unified School District, and it's San Luis and coastal school districts which were unified in the 60s. And there is a unique perspective that I think we have here on the coast. It's not the same as San Luis. And although we are a unified school district, I believe there are issues that are germane to the coast, and I believe that to some people's impression, on the coast for a period of time in the past was a stepchild. I don't think that's true anymore. I think everybody in our school district has done a fantastic job. So I'm concerned about that. Another thing, Catherine, I'm a little concerned about is that I would want to make sure that you understood the broad view of what we have to do here, and that it's not just about certain issues, but that there are a whole lot of things and a whole lot of things that we need to take into consideration. Jim, you've had a raft of experience, and I don't know that we could buy this kind of experience. And maybe that's something that concerns me, is maybe you've got too much experience to sit on the board right now. You've been a superintendent, you've been a principal, you've done all that great stuff. It does make me a little nervous. Craig, this is the second time you've come before us, and God knows I appreciate that from you, and that takes a lot of courage, I think, to come up here twice to do something that you absolutely believe in for the children and for your community. You did concern me when you said that you would, that it was teachers all the way, and I'll tell you why. And Mr. Bedrigi and I, you know, my wife is a teacher. I'm a former teacher. I still consider myself an educator, but we've got about, oh gosh, what about 200 or 300, 400 other employees of this school district who are not teachers and who we need to keep in our thoughts at all times as well. And those are not only administrators, but those are our classified employees. Larry, you also have a lot of experience. I don't know that you've been in the community long enough, though. And I don't know that you've had the roots here that some of the other folks have had. Also, I've got to say that one of the things that the board ourselves is working on is trying to come up with some, I'm going to try to put this gently, come up with timely answers to questions. And I think some of your answers weren't as focused as I would have liked to have seen. That said, you know, I too am going to wait just a little bit longer to think about who I am going to support. Knowing that I think you all have strengths and you all have weaknesses. So I'm going to go ahead to Mrs. Roger.
Well, it's hard being the fourth person because a lot's already been said. I too appreciate that everyone came. I know it's hard. I'm very appreciative that you're willing to put yourselves out there and do this. And I do believe that everyone has a sincere interest in children and public education. A couple of things that concerned me was that I didn't get the sense that anyone understood, or at least no one spoke to the fact that we are a basic aid school district, so that our funding mechanism is different from our ADA counterparts, and that's a very important piece, one certainly that can be learned in short order, but I was hopeful that someone would mention that. Also the fact that we are in our third year of program improvement is something that we're having to look at, and that was not mentioned. The reasons for program improvement as we understand them and what we know them to be, you know, it's an understandable thing, and certainly our test scores are good and our students excel, and but it is something that we need to be aware of. And the other thing, where is the other thing? Oh, I too noticed that no one mentioned that budget cuts will almost undoubtedly be coming down the pike for us. So, Larry did? Oh, I beg your pardon then. Larry did mention that. In being a board member, it's important, I think, to come with an interest in serving the needs of children, all children, and to not want to join the board because you have certain particular specific areas of interest or agendas that you'd like to put forward. And a couple of people I thought did have some specific areas of interest that might take away from that the overview that you really need to have, in that all children are important, and that when we look at programs and establishing budget, we take that into account. We have a strategic plan. Some people did mention the mission statement, but the strategic plan is the direction that the board has decided we want our administration to go. It's the direction that we want the district to go, and it prioritizes our highest issues and where we want to devote our resources. And I don't know if anybody has read the strategic plan. That's something you can acquaint yourself with, but it's very important because it's our blueprint. It's where we're going, or where we hope to be going. You know, I can speak to each person specifically, but I don't think that it's really necessary. I appreciate that. I think it was Mr. Stanfill who said the role of a board member is to make policy and set direction. And though we sometimes get off on different things, that truly is the role of a board member, is to make policy and set direction. And so I was pleased to hear that said. I don't know. Did I say anything? Oh, Walter's reminding me. I did not adhere to the brevity. The brevity motive.
Watch me.
Okay, there you go.
Well, first of all, I want to adopt all the remarks that my colleagues have made, thanking you and acknowledging how skilled and qualified and dedicated you are, and I mean that sincerely. I'm just trying to be concise. I came to tonight with a slightly different, perhaps, perspective on what I wanted to accomplish, and what I wanted to accomplish was to find a clone of Dave Peter, because, you know, the board sets direction and makes policy, but we do that in the process of, I love a good gerund, envisioning is about as good a gerund as you can find. And we invest a lot of effort and a lot of energy in it. One of the things I love about Adrian is she doesn't let us get lazy about things, and she prods us and pushes us. Dave comes in with data that some of us never thought about, and that pushes us too. Marilyn is, you know, knows the heartbeat of Los Osos and Morro Bay and is interacting with people on a daily basis. So when I looked for what we were going to lose with Dave, that kind of formed what I was looking for in the candidates tonight. And as much as I admire and respect the professional educators, professional administrators in their resumes, that's not the quality that we are losing from the board. And frankly, administering and running school districts and understanding the nuance of many things, we have an abundance, both on the board and staff throughout the district. What I was looking for is that experience that, frankly, was in common with mine, which was being a classroom volunteer, site council member, library volunteer, being in the schools, seeing the quality of our staff, seeing the in certificated and classified. Marilyn's point is very well taken about that. You know, it's kind of like the reverse of climbing Mount Everest. You have one teacher who's in the classroom, and you have not very many other folks who are helping that teacher get in the classroom. So we don't have like huge teams, but we have classified folks who make sure that what the teacher needs and requires in the classroom is there. So I guess where I'm coming down to is somebody who's going to push our vision and not let us get lazy and look at the classroom environment, the school site environment, and go, why don't we have lower class sizes? Why don't we have better resources available? Why don't we have a higher ratio of nurses? Why don't we have these things? And they're hard things, and believe me, we wrestle with them. But we don't accomplish these things by having a board that's basically wonks. And, you know, we all get to be a little wonkish after a while, after you learn the ropes. And my concern is that we have somebody pushing us. And we, you know, we may have some budget issues to deal with. I'm not sure that I agree we're going to have cuts in the near future. And we may have some budget issues, but what I think the budget issue that bothers me the most over the past 3 or 4 years is that we actually have money. And I don't believe that we've leveraged it fully to make the systemic fundamental changes we need to make in the classroom. And I have said this in a number of board meetings, if we really believe in the promise of specialized education, where we understand the student and the student's needs and what they need to learn, and we bring that synthesis together, we can't do it in a 31-to-1 classroom. And I'm not saying that I have the answers to it, but I think we'll work harder at finding those answers with a board member who is helping push that vision. And I'll be the first one out here in front, and I'll say that I am inclined to support Catherine Rogers.
Well, I get to go last, and I guess we sort of have a motion on the floor now. I've been going to school board meetings now for about 30 years. This is probably the most difficult school board meeting that I've gone to, and I have to be sitting in front. So this has turned out to be quite the experience, and I want to thank you for the time that I was before you for not letting me see how bad it was.
Not being on the school board.
No. I tried to come up with a one word for each of the candidates. Mr. Heck, experience. Mrs. Rogers, service. Mr. Stanfill, committed. Mr. Baltimore, systematic. And Mr. Heslett, passion. And it was an amazing evening to listen to everybody, and it was a good time reading all this material that came with it. My concerns are, one, and maybe the minor one, is looking for somebody that can express themselves succinctly. And so that was one of the things that I was looking for tonight. I was also coming with a desire to find somebody that would mesh with this board. I was welcomed. I'm sort of the baby on the board, so I was sort of welcomed with open arms and taken in and felt very welcomed. But I know that for the board to continue to work the way it is we really need somebody that's going to mesh well. And of the candidates that are here, only one of them that I know of actually took advantage of coming to the one board meeting that was between the time of the announcement and the time that we have to make a decision. And that says a lot to me, that somebody was able to make that commitment. I also think that among the candidates, there's a strong ability with one of the candidates to bring both an internal and external perspective. I agree, Walter, that we need somebody that's going to push us, but that pushing can come both with knowledge from past experience, but also with the knowledge from having helped with things like the Los Osos 4-H and from the knowledge of owning a business here in the community. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, I was a little worried there that we had two seats on the board, C's, condescending and cold. No. We're a warm group. We just came off of sort of a retreat where we had to be like this old sensitivity group thing. I think there were there's peer pressure on the board. Anyway, I want to address one of Chris's concerns, and that is about not having children in the schools in Los Osos. And this is related to Catherine. If you just need to live somewhere. You don't have to have children in the schools, in the community, to be on the board representing your area. Because if you live there, you interact, and you know, you're part of your community and your neighbors. And I don't think it should be a negative thing to have your children in the district, but not in the neighborhood school right down the street. We're kind of a small district. I mean, not that big. But anyway, I just don't think that's a major concern. And I think it was a little limiting because I think just because someone didn't mention something, some of the other candidates, doesn't mean they didn't realize. Like on Craig Baltimore, it's just that you know that the most important thing is education and the teachers being supported, and they're the ones that affect the students so directly every day. I don't think your comment meant that you're not aware of the wide spectrum of other employees in the district and other things. It's that you can't mention everything when you're in an interview, and a lot of things you would like to say, you don't get a chance to say. So I guess I'm just softening things a little because I think you all have so many wonderful qualities, and I appreciate each one being here. I guess I'm leaning toward Catherine too, partly because you are so articulate and confident and gracious, and I don't think that, we've already, you know, so many of us want to lower class sizes, and we get this very black and white thing of why that is totally impossible. It's not going to happen, and this is why. You know, and it's pretty clear, but I don't think that would mean that you couldn't be concerned about many, many other issues and participate in the board in a very helpful and open, cooperative way. It just shows that you have an interest in something, which I think is very normal. And you have come to many board meetings. You were in one in this room. No, well, wherever it was, about the PE. It was in the district office. But you have been to board meetings. And when you ran for the board, you went to a lot of board meetings, too.
I just wanted to kind of add, I didn't think it was appropriate to criticize Catherine for electing to send her child to one of our accelerated learners programs. that does recruit from the coast as well, and it's a residence requirement to run. It just, I'm not bothered by utilizing the open enrollment policy of the school district to pick a school that's the best for your students' needs. And let's see, I didn't actually hear Catherine say basic aid, but what I got was in her discussion about declining enrollment, she made reference to if we have a declining enrollment, how do we utilize those resources, which told me to some extent that she understood the funding was not related to ADA. And of course, she's been a candidate, and we've participated in forums before, so I do know that she knows that distinction.
To maybe further refine this, to me, and I really appreciated what Walt was saying about the qualities that David brought to the board, a board, I believe, is best suited if they represent the community, and I think we benefit on this board because of Adrian, Chris's, and Mark's background in education. And I also think we benefit from the other three of us who aren't from the educational field but are committed to public education, and we've had experience in other things. And I really think because we have great administrators and teachers in this district, our job isn't to make sure that the day-to-day administration of the district is running in a certain way or needs to be addressed in a certain way. I think our job is to be sensitive to the community, to be open and available for requests and letters and comments about what's happening to children and how the schools are responding to certain needs in the community. And I think that balance is important to me. And of the two people here tonight, both Sterling and Catherine have had a deep connection to these communities for a while. And there's one thing that I believe would be helpful is the fact that there is someone who has children who are presently in the school district, which is something that we don't have right now, except for Mark has that. Yeah. And I think there's a value. I think there's a value to that. I think that the connection between the community and the schools and the issues is critical. And I think that it's important not to sit back in a room and just analyze data and say this is the thing that makes the most sense, because I think it's much more than that. And I think that when I'm considering voting for someone tonight, I would have to narrow my perspective to Sterling and Catherine because of that community involvement and the fact that they have seen multiple situations with our children, our community, and the schools, and both have different experiences. And I think that the one thing that is important among several is the willingness to continue to work in the community, to have a vision, a clarity, to be analytical, but to also bring a rich background from many different areas. And that's the feeling I have about, although many candidates have rich backgrounds, that I think is critical, because a board does not need to be educationally trained or trained in education, but it needs to be committed to the community and have connections and roots in the community that allow it to see the bigger picture.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. As in many things, I sometimes approach situations with preconceived notions, and then I'm lucky enough to hear many different viewpoints and consider the opinions of my fellow board members. I too actually kind of came down with Mr. Spadafore on Sterling and Catherine. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion for Catherine Eisendrath Rogers. My fellow board members have convinced me, and I believe that looking at your resume as somebody who has been actively involved in the community, who has shown an interest by running for school board 2 years ago, actually 3 years ago, someone who, as Mr. Millar talks about, has a passion, who I believe can learn the various issues and that the school district is facing and advocate for kids, but look outside of that. So I'm going to go ahead and make that motion. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any other discussion? Mr. Buckman.
I have to say that as we were going around, my choice was going to be to make a motion for Mr. Stanfill. I am listening to my fellow board members, and I'm in deep appreciation of Mr. Unger making this motion.
So it's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye. Carries 6-0. Congratulations, Catherine, and thanks to everyone.
Yeah. No, 2 weeks from now.